Would you open them to Hebrews chapter 11? We've been looking into the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it's called the Faith chapter. And today we look to Enoch. He shared briefly in Genesis chapter 5, which we're going to go to in a couple of moments, but here in Hebrews he is highlighted. But here's what I want you to think about this week as I'm talking. I want you to retrace your steps this last week. Where did you walk? Where did you go? Maybe for you it was in your house, and that's all that you went. Maybe for you yesterday you went to the Volks March, and you went on that. Maybe for you it was a long walk. Maybe for you, you didn't walk much at all. But I want you to think about the places that you went. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment, but then I also want you to think about ahead of you, this next week. Where are you going to? You're walking to your office? You're walking to your job? Where are you walking to? I want you to think about that as we think about Enoch and who he was. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to go back to the first couple of verses, and then I want to go to Hebrews 12, verse 1, and then I want to go to Hebrews 11, verse 5. So hopefully you can follow me as I skip around here a little bit. Here's what it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. And now Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So that's what we're pursuing, that's what we're aiming for, is to understand the cloud of witnesses. Now let's go back to verse 5, where we hear about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended, having pleased God. Here's what it says, by faith, Enoch. Enoch had faith in God. As we think on life, we also need to think of last week about Abel. And though he died, he still speak. How does Enoch speak? Enoch speak because he had faith. Now, there was definitely corruption, there was sin, there was evil, but Enoch walked with God. Let this be an encouragement to some of you. You've been in a battle. You have endured, you have faced ridicule, and yet you have chosen God when other friends or family, whoever, have not. And see what can happen when that happens. Now, I want you to go back, if you're willing to Genesis chapter 5, and we see this. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, it tells us a little bit about Enoch. Here's what it says. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the reason why I go back to that for just a moment is, who was the son of Enoch? Methuselah. Now, if you know much about Methuselah, you know that Methuselah was the oldest man ever recorded. In my opinion, I think that God provides a little comic relief for us here. Here's a guy who didn't have to experience death, who was the father of the oldest man that lived. That's kind of funny to me how God sets that up. Enoch was said this. He was said to be the first man skilled in tailoring and in sewing, and that he instructed men how to cut out skins in the proper shape to make garments. He was said to be the first to teach men to make shoes to protect their feet. He was also said to be the first to put pen to paper and instruct men from books. Enoch is also mentioned in Jude, and in Jude it says that he was a seventh from Adam. Interesting, I mentioned this last week. Why are there certain people mentioned in the faith chapter? We have Abel, the first man who died, who was actually murdered. Then we have the second man, it was mentioned as Enoch, and he was a seventh from Adam. And many of you know, seven is a very biblical number. Enoch, it says this, was taken up. Now, there's another word that's shared as well, is it says that he was translated. That's kind of an interesting word. It merely means denoting a change of place. We assume, and we also know, that God took him home to heaven. Now, I just have to say this. Wouldn't this be nice? Wouldn't this be nice? He didn't have to deal with the pain of death. Some of you have experienced the horribleness of death. Cancer of many forms, heart attacks, car accidents, leukemia, fire, unusual physical diseases, anorexia, pneumonia, tuberculosis, suicide. Death can be very painful. Many of us have seen the pain of death. It is devastating. It is hard. It's real. And actually, not only have some of us have seen the pain of death, we have lived through the pain of death. Many of us have sat near the bedside of someone and pleaded for God to keep someone alive, or pleaded to God for him to take that person home. There are few that pass relatively easily. Very few have passed from their life in their sleep. That's how I'd like to go, tell you the truth. Not so long ago, some people I knew had some elderly parents, and they started praying that way. Lord, just take them peacefully. Take them peacefully. And the father of the one was in a care home and was put to bed. And he said that night, the nurse came and tucked him in. And he said, would you come back and check on me in a little bit? And that was unusual. He didn't really do that. And she said, sure. And so she prayed with him and tucked him into bed. And an hour and a half later, he passed on. Can I promise you that you will be just taken? Wouldn't that be nice? Not to have to experience death. Well, that's not necessarily probably going to happen for most of us. Here's what the psalmist says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's only two ways that I can see you escaping death. One of those is by Enoch. Maybe God will want this just to take you up. That would be fun. Steve was, and then he was not. That'd be all right. Or, let me share with you another way. The second coming. Let me share with you what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to turn there, you can. Here's what it says. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Christ is coming, and we might see that time where we are just taken to heaven. Wouldn't that be great? Then I have to experience death. That may happen. Look forward to this day. But Enoch didn't have this. It was Bacon who said this, men fear death as children fear to go in the dark. One day you will be translated into another place. Enoch found is what it says. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found. Missing in action. Not there. Gone. Now, some of you possibly have dealt with this. I never have. But maybe you've dealt with this. Maybe you've dealt with losing a loved one and they were, if you will, MIA, missing in action. And you want to come to a place of closure, but you don't know really where they are. I wonder about this for Enoch's family. Oh man, what happened to Enoch? He was, and oh man, this, oh, what happened? He was not found because God had taken him. Barclay, a commentator, says it in this way, in a wicked and corrupt generation, Enoch walked with God, and so when the end came to him, there was no shock or interruption. Death merely took him into God's nearer presence. Because he walked with God when other men were walking away from him, he daily came nearer to him, and death was no more than the last step that took him into the presence of God with whom he had always walked. May that be said of you and I on the day of our reckoning, if we pass and Jesus doesn't come again. Maybe may that be said of you and I. That person was so close to God, they just took the last step into heaven. They just stepped right into heaven. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Wouldn't that be sweet to just go on a walk with God, praying, and then not seeing death, but ending up in the heavenly realms? Just going on a walk. Now, that doesn't mean that we should just stop, and we shouldn't keep walking. And I wondered this, how many walks did Enoch have with God? Several of you are involved in the 100 miles in 100 days. Thank you for doing that. I think that God will minister to you as you walk or you ride or you run or whatever you do. Here's one of the reasons why I think you should do this. So you can be like Enoch and you can walk with God. Now, some of you are saying, well, it wasn't, you know, Enoch wasn't just walking. I get that. I understand that. But here's my concept with this. I think there were several things that could have distracted Enoch in that day. And I think there are several things in our world that distract us. And so there's something about having time alone with God, either in devotions or out in nature, and walking. And so I think there's something, maybe call it your God walk. Maybe start your walk by saying, God, reveal yourself to me, and wait and see what God does. Enoch walked with God. This must mean then that others did not. Enoch walked with God. This means, I believe, that others did not. You walk with God, and others will not. You've done this before. Some of you have went on a walk, and you've been walking through your life, and then all of a sudden you find yourself on a lonely path by yourself because others have said, I'm not going on that walk any further with God. Hear me in this. Keep walking. Don't stop. You keep walking with God, just like Enoch did. We don't see any verses about Enoch saying that he led others to the Lord and then he prayed the prayer of salvation with them. Jude tells us that he prophesied, but he walked with God. Let's make an effort to walk with God instead of just walking in this life. I'm going to share with you a couple of walks that I had this last week, if you'd give me the privilege. Now, these walks may not mean anything to you, but they mean something to me. And so apply yourself wherever it might be. The first one is this walk. Many of you don't have a clue where this house is, and well, you frankly don't care about this house, but I do. Because it was in March of 2000 that I walked up to this house for the very first time and knocked on this door of a young lady, and her parents still live in that house, and I was there this week. And so when I walked to that house, that has significance for me. It kind of changed my life a little bit. Another place that I walked was to this place. This place was outside of Lincoln, Nebraska. It was formerly Ed and Lenore's house. You don't know who Ed and Lenore is, but I walked to this house, and here was a godly couple that lived on the north side of Lincoln. You never know them, but I don't know some of the people that have ministered in your life. Ed and Lenore followed the Lord faithfully, and there was a house that I walked around that and got some things ready. I walked here. This is my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. They were newly married on Wednesday, May 31. His name is Lane and her name is Amy. They actually live in Ed and Lenore's house. And so I walked to this wedding. Some of you have walked to a wedding and it's been very significant. Some of you have walked down the aisle, maybe even this aisle. And boy, that was pretty significant, wasn't it? You walked. Another place I walked to was, some of you went to the cemetery on Monday. We didn't go on Monday. We actually went on Thursday. This is my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and of course, my family. And my father-in-law's parents are buried right there. I don't know if you can see the tombstone or not. Glenn Nelson and Millie Nelson were their names. Millie died at age 57, I believe is how old she was, and Glenn passed on when in his 80s. And we walked to the cemetery, and we looked at a tombstone of somebody who walked with God. Millie Nelson had 11 years of cancer that she fought, and finally it overtook her at age 57, as I mentioned. Where do you walk? Enoch walked with God. God was and is with me wherever we go. Here's what Leviticus says, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people." 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Walk in his ways." Walking with God is obtainable. It's not something that's out of reach. You can do this. Psalm 56:13. "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Now, God doesn't necessarily have feet. Obviously, Jesus did when he was on the earth. But walking means going alongside of. You don't actually have to be walking with someone to actually be walking alongside of them. One little girl put it this way when she came home from Sunday school. Her mother asked what she had learned in class that day. She said, "Don't you know, Mother, one day they," meaning Enoch and God, "went for an extra long walk, and they walked on and on until God said to Enoch, 'You are such a long way from home, you had better just come in and stay.'" Enoch did not run. It isn't a sprint. He didn't walk ahead. He didn't walk behind. He walked with. Sometimes my family is able to go on a hike up in the hills. We enjoy doing that. And sometimes when we're hiking, there's a path that's not very wide. I don't know if you've ever tried to carry on a conversation with somebody ahead of you. It's really kind of difficult because they're talking forward and you're back here and you really can't hear them. Now, not that I want that person to turn around and talk to me like this, because then there's sticks and rocks in the way and they're going to end up face down. See, Enoch walked with God. Sometimes we try to run ahead of God. Some of us sometimes try to, "Oh, you just go ahead and lead." And God says, "Come on. Come on." Enoch walked with God. Have you been walking on a different path than what God wants you to be on? God says, "Come back on the path with me. Walk with me." Here's what it says, the last of verse 5. "Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." Do you please God? Isn't this an interesting, this is a great question. He was commended as having pleased God. Think on this one for a moment. Do you please God? If you think on that one all week, that'll befuddle you for a while. Do I please God in everything I do? Do I please God? Enoch did. Pleasing God means living according to his pleasures, not yours. Part of pleasing God is living for him and not ourselves. We commend ourselves because we sing good songs. We commend ourselves because we provide for our families. We commend ourselves because we live in nice homes. We drive nice cars. We have a nice nest egg. We have a good education. We have a great business that we have built up. We commend ourselves because we're a part of a building. We're building a church along Elkville Road. We commend ourselves. We commend ourselves because of our nice clothes, the way we eat, the words we speak, the kind of people we are. These are all good, but we should be commended only because we please God. Here's what Mr. Bullinger said, a book I'm reading. Where are the Enochs today? Where are those who walk with God and who witness for God? The Greek tense for this word is saying this. It has been and still is witness that he pleased God. So it was that he walked with God, and it is that he is walking with God now. It's not just that he walked with God, but He is walking. He had and he still is doing it. It's a part of the English language we can't do much with. But the Greek says he was walking and he is still walking. And so it's a combination. And this is what it says. May you walk with God. May you be consistent every day, every hour, every moment. May you be able to sing just a closer walk with three. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Not every funeral that I officiate has this song in it, because some people really don't like the song. Some people don't like the song In the Garden. They say that's an old person song and we really don't want to sing that song. But let me point out to you one part of that song that I think is very important for us as we think about us walking with the Lord and Enoch walking with the Lord. Here's what it says, talking of God. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and it tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other known. Do you walk with God? Do you walk with God everywhere you go? Your feet move you around. Some of us hobble around a little bit now. But wherever you go, your feet move you. Do you please God? When you think back to last week, all those places that I showed you on the screen and where I walked, the places where you walk, was that pleasing to God? Going forward this next week, I encourage you, be like Enoch. Walk with God. Please God every moment. Every day, he calls you to his side and he says, come, walk with me. This is a good thing. And when you walk with God, there's great pleasure in that. There's great pleasure. When you walk behind, when you walk in front of, when you're on a different path, that's not good. But when you walk with him, there's such pleasure in that because he delights in that and so do you. Would you stand with me? I want to pray with you today. Lord Jesus, thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for these words about Enoch, who walked with you and then was not. Lord, I pray that each person here today, even right now, would say, Lord Jesus, I will walk with you wherever you lead me. I will remain step in step beside you. I will follow after you. And Lord Jesus, may we be ones who please you just like Enoch did. May you receive the pleasure. And I know that when we please you, there's great, great rewards that come from that. So Lord Jesus, challenge our minds. Give us your encouragement today. And Lord Jesus, may we be reminded that wherever we walk to this week, whether it be to our car to go somewhere a little further down the road, or whether it be in our neighborhood, may we walk with you. May you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.